Well, it's a blessing to be back under the tabernacle tonight. Appreciate all that God has done for us around this place these days. I don't know what all He has done, but I know that He does, it's always right. And I appreciate what He's done in my life and for my heart this week. It's good to be here. I want to say thank you to the ladies and the men that fixed the food this week. It's really been a blessing for the sacrifices you've made. They will not go unnoticed. You can mark that down. And all the other things that's went on. A lot of work goes into a meeting like this. And a lot of times we just get to come and reap from it and soak it up, the good part. But somebody's working behind the scenes at all time. And I appreciate Brother Ken letting us come. Good to be with Brother Doug tonight. Looking forward to hearing him. I was sitting there thinking, is trying to keep my mind on what I was going to preach tonight, and I looked over there. I believe I know it is, two best friends I got in this world, right there. I want them to know that I love them. I mean it. They've been a big help and a blessing to me and my family. I thought here a while back for sure I was going to have to kill Brother Doug. I really thought about doing it. I mean, he took my boys almost away from me when they was younger, and he crossed the line and started after them grandbabies. And that's where you cross the line with Papa. There's a thin line there. Thank God. Old Bruce and Amy come through for him. And so, but I love him. Love your pastor for being a friend of me, and I appreciate these preachers, your prayers and your thoughts. You got your Bible, and I hope you do. I want you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 15. Genesis chapter 15. You find your place, you stand. I want to read the first verse, and then I want to drop down to verse number 9 and read a few verses there. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You ought to underline that in your Bibles. And then in verse number 9, And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And they shall go to thy fathers, and thou shalt go to thy father in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. You may be seated. In chapter 12, God has called Abram out of a land of Ur, among the Chaldeans, and God birthed a covenant in his heart, made a covenant with him at that time when he brought him out, and told him he was going to do some things for him if he would follow him. And Abram came out at that time. Later on in the scripture, as you know, God changed his name to Abraham when he did some things that God told him to do and followed him and sold out to him. One preacher said, when you get to following God, not man, he'll put some ham on your name. I don't know about that, but I'll put ham on the table. That makes for good feeling when you don't know what to say, I guess. But anyway, we find here that God has come back in chapter 14, I believe it is, the latter part of that. He reaffirms that covenant with Abraham. And then in chapter 15, he comes by and he talks to Abraham again. Now, this is some probably 8 to 10 years after he has called him out. We don't know what all took place during that time. We do know in chapter 13 we find where he and Lot separated. And then we find chapter 14 where Abraham went to battle and brought Lot out and helped bring Lot out of the trouble he was in down in Sodom and Gomorrah. We find that. But here in chapter 15, God comes by and he's sealing that covenant that he made with Abraham. I want to preach for a little while on if God said it, he's going to do it. Amen. You can mark it down that it's not what you and I say to God that counts. It's a different ball game when it's what God says to us. A lot of times we say, well, I talked to the Lord today, and that's impressive to the ear to some people. But it's really not what you say to the Lord, it's what the Lord says back to you. I do like to talk to my Lord. I love to pray to him. He loves to hear from me. I realize that. And so does he love to hear from you. But I like it when he talks back to me. That means more than what I'm saying to him. And we find here that the covenant that God's making with Abraham, you'll not find anywhere where Abraham is making any deals with God or any promises to God. It's what God's doing to him. The covenants in the Word of God, they're not your covenant, not my covenant. They're God's covenants. He made them. In chapter 17, you'll find that as you read that chapter, you'll find that God always refers to him as my covenant. And it is his covenant. It's his word. It's not my word. It's not your word. It's his word that really counts. And so he's sealing this covenant here. And in order to receive and the blessings of God, there's some things that God requires out of you and I. Now, I'm not one of these that believe that you just get saved and everything turns rosy for you. And I hope you're not that simple-minded. I thought that and I got saved. But boy, it didn't take me long to realize that I was wrong. But it is the best life I've ever lived. And I'm too close to home to go back. I'm enjoying the trip while I'm headed that way too. I don't have anything to complain about or gripe about. I'm enjoying the trip. But here we find that he's sealing a covenant with Abraham. He told Abraham exactly what he wanted him to do. Now, there's my way and your way and God's way. And I've tried it your way, and I've tried it my way, and I've tried it his way. And I found out my way and your way don't mean nothing. It's his way. said he wanted a heifer of 3 years old. That's exactly what he wanted. He didn't want one 2.5 year old and didn't want one 11 year old. He didn't want one that was blind or lame or crippled or nothing like that. He wanted a heifer of 3 year old. And when he said that, now listen, let me say right here that somebody said, I don't know exactly what he was taught this, that there's over 4,800 promises in the Word of God. And they said, I'm going to claim every one of them. Well, I'm not. Because first of all, I ain't no Jew. And some of them was meant just for the Jewish people. I love ham meat too much, bless God. Thank God I ain't no Jew. Yeah, now I got your attention. Y'all was Jews for a while. Yeah. Bless God, some of y'all was going to claim them until you found out you can't eat that ham. But he told Abraham there was some things that he wanted him to do, and there was a certain way that they had to do it. And God's that way today. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you blind or dumb to how to do some things. Now, if he tells you he's going to do it, he's going to do it. You mark that down. If he tells you he's going to save your youngins, he's going to save your youngins. You don't have to worry about that. As long as you pray for somebody, they ain't got a chance of getting in. When you can't pray for them, that's when you better start worrying. But God made some promises to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, we're going to seal this covenant. And he said, you take that heifer and that turtle dove and that pigeon, and don't you split the pigeon. But they split that heifer, and what was that other one? I done forgot. What was it? Huh? A goat, thank God. Ain't nothing wrong with good barbecued goat. And he said you split them right down the middle and you lay them end to end. And the covenant was that he was going to walk between them and seal that covenant. Abraham tried his best, I believe. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if some of you don't even know where meat comes from, half of you. Don't get me on that. But there's work involved in cleaning an animal before it's prepared. I mean, I've been through all that. We used to kill about 8 or 10, 12 hogs a year and eat them for Christmas, I believe. But we did that, cured our meat and all that. There's work involved in that. And Abraham did what God told him to do and laid it down. And he said, now you're going to have to keep the fowls of the air off of them. Well, I almost and started to, and may he still hit it a while. I don't know. I don't preach about 20, 25 minutes. Give Brother Doug plenty of time. But I started to preach on keeping the buzzards away. That's right. They's working that on keeping the buzzards away. I mean, the buzzards ain't going to come around until they something. Listen, that's a smart creature. You ought to study about them a little while. See, they'll send, well, they run in packs. And they'll send one out, and he'll circle. And he won't circle when something dies. Oh, no. He can tell when they're getting weak. And he'll start circling up there. And they might give off a certain sound. And the weaker that animal gets, I mean, they'll move. But I found this out. I read about this, about a buzzard. He will not land as long as there's a motion going on down below him. They don't land. If you'll keep something stirred up at the house of God, you don't have to worry about the buzzards coming in. I thought some of y'all didn't know you had some in the church, but if I told you about some things about it, you probably realize there has been some that flew by every now and then. But as long as there's something stirring down there, they knew they couldn't land because they're a weak creature. And by the way, a buzzard has no sense of taste. He has no taste buds. Ever the biggest part of a buzzard is nose. I've met some of them too. They smell everything, and the worse something smells, they think that that's the best. That's how good it tastes, and so it's got to stink before they can get it. That's the way some folks don't ever come to the church unless there's something going on, something dead's been drug up, and they want to stand up a little bit and get it to stink. Watch that buzzard Baptist come flying in there. Yeah, they'll come by. And he said, you're going to have to keep them out. Abraham had to stay away during the daytime. Buzzards don't fly at night. How about that? He said, you stay up and you keep away. Listen, church. You don't really know what all you've got around here. And one thing you need to really watch out for is that buzzard crowd coming by or trying to stir up something. You just keep them off of it and just keep some going on down at the house of God. He said, Abraham, you're going to have to keep the buzzards off that meat. They're going to come by. And let me tell you something about a buzzard. He dies naked. That's right. Stripped of everything he's got. They fly from one dead carcass to the other. And I told you they go by how it smells as to whether they think it's good for them. They lose every feather on their body. And then they turn on one another. When they can't find something dead among the church, they'll fight with one another. They'll pick at one another. And you can't, a buzzard is a buzzard. I don't give a flip what you say. There ain't nothing pretty about them. There's nothing you tame about them. There ain't no need you trying to pet them. I mean, bless God, let them go ahead and go on down to the other place and try to dig up something down there and chew on it a while. Well, give me that water.
You're preaching good, son. It's our tag team preaching tonight.
Help me out. Man, preacher, I like that. Yeah. The best way to identify one of them Baptist buzzards is when they do land at your place. They'll get to wanting to hold a Bible study. Y'all seen them. We gonna have Bible study. Usually it's a female. If you know what I mean. I'm not knocking you women. Bless God, y'all been too good to me this week. If I stayed here another week, I'd weigh about 230 pounds. Every bit of it, I guarantee you. I mean, y'all been good to me. Don't y'all think I'm against y'all. But that's usually where to start. We want to have a Bible study. We want to have a prayer meeting. But we don't want to have it at the church. We want to go over to Sister Louise's house. We'll get Brother Tom to leave. And see, they'll get over there. And they'll study for about 5 minutes. Well, how do you know? I fell in on them. I want to break them up.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, if you're going to have Bible study, why don't you come to the house of God about 10 o'clock Sunday morning? Why don't you come back about 6 o'clock Sunday night? If you come on Wednesday night, you're liable to find out preacher will open up the Bible and you study with him. But they'll start out right there. I'm going to feel like preaching on the buzzards if you don't care. The covenant is walking away a little way. Preacher, it'll be easy for you in just a minute, preacher. I ain't going to be long. But a few years ago, I was between churches. And this, I'm leery of these fellers that really like my preaching sometime. Especially after I get through these buzzard messages, you know. And this fella come up to me and said, Brother David, why don't you and your family to come to our house for supper Saturday night? Boy, I appreciate that. I'll eat your groceries any day of the week. Boy, I like that. Got over there and there was two or three more cars. I had a funny feeling. I pulled up. I don't have to be entertained while I'm eating. And I don't talk while I'm eating. And I don't care nothing about sitting across from somebody that does talk while I'm eating. Wait till we get through. There's a time for all things according to the Word of God. I believe He left out a time to talk and a time to eat. But He didn't put them in the same order. But anyway, I pulled up and we went in and we had a meal. And afterwards, I thought it was time to go. That's what He invited me over there for. I didn't want to wear out my welcome. He said, come to eat. We're going to eat and leave. And so He said, I got something I want to talk to you about. I don't like that. Especially when they bring up the church that I attend and the pastor's not there. And they started. I think we need to start a church because we believe like you believe. But see, I believe the way my pastor believes.
Yeah.
But I had a brainstorm. I don't have too many. I'm going to get clouded up every now and then. But I had a brainstorm. If you believe like I believe, why don't you believe like my pastor believes and what my pastor believes? Yeah. Why don't you tell me? He said, let's start a church. Number one, God ain't said nothing to me about starting one.
Yeah.
Number two, I ain't started one because you want one. If He's going to start anything at the house of God, He's going to do it through the man that's going to lead it. I'm still buzzarding. I'm getting the buzzards. The buzzards ain't liking this, but I'm on the buzzard. But that's where He's going to start it from. And that's where it'll start from. Before long, they'll get off their Bible study, and they got to talk about everybody and everything. That goes, that's what buzzards do. Do you know what He does? Listen to me. You allowed one mistake in the Baptist church. They may not remember where John 3:16 is, but they'll remember the day that you didn't do what you ought to do. You said you'd do it. They'll remember 25 years down the road. You know what they'll do? They'll drag it up at one of them hen parties and say, let's cackle over this a while and see if we can get something going. That's what buzzards do. They'll drag up something that's dead. You remember the way your preacher done old sister so-and-so? That wasn't right. Hey, sister so-and-so didn't need to sing. She ought not to sing. Well, He said, before I can bless you, Abraham, you keep the buzzards away. That's a job. Let me just say right here, because some of you are looking at me a tad funny. If God's going to do anything for Liberty Baptist Church, He's going to do it through that preacher first. He'll be the first one to know about it. And it's not always His job to pick the buzzards out. Some of you ought to have I could get on the dogs here for a while. But it's good to have a good bird dog around every now and then that can sniff out a buzzard when he comes here and say, hey, if my preacher wants it that way, that's the way it's going to be around here. Well, I'm enjoying this after all. I was a tad nervous at first. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make this covenant with you. But He said, you're going to have to keep them buzzards away from me. You mark it down. You mark it down. As sure as God's wanting to do something for you, hell's going to turn loose on you. You mark it down. You better shout the victory. You better shout the victory every chance you get. I get so sick of hearing preachers say, boy, it's going good down there, but I'm looking for the devil to move in any time. God help you. Why don't you just go ahead and shout? The devil ain't going to come around as long as you are shouting. I'm not looking for the devil to move in. No, sir. I'm enjoying the blessings of God. I'm looking for God to do something else around here tonight. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make this covenant with you. And He didn't say, now you go get Sister Sarah and see if she approves of this. It didn't matter if Sister Sarah approved or not. Bless God. He just made it with Abraham. He said, what I'm going to do, you lay that meat down there and I'm going to walk through it. Don't you know, Abraham wanted to see God walk in and and seal that covenant that day. I want to tell you, sir, he stayed as long as he could. How deep sleep fell upon him. That's when God walked in, when he's unexpected. Hey, he don't do the unusual at the house of God. It ain't unusual for Baptists to come in and sing and shout and rejoice. That ain't unusual to God. That's the usual. He said, I'm gonna walk into this covenant and I'm gonna seal it. I'm gonna give you four things and I'm through. Right quick. And God made him a promise. He's gonna do four things for him. In verse number 1-3. He said, first of all, he said, I'm gonna give you a peace. He said, I don't want you to go around scared. I fear not. That's what that means. Ain't no need you walking around wondering. If God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Now see, of all the promises in the covenant that he made with Abraham, Abraham didn't get to see him come to pass. Abraham didn't get to see him come to pass. But that didn't mean God didn't say it. That didn't mean God didn't perform it. Peter said the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. If God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. He said, Abraham, he said, everywhere you go, he said, you can go in peace. I mean, you got the peace of God. Hey, listen, a lot of people measure their success at the house of God and even in their lives by the material things. What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? He was promising him some spiritual things. We need spiritual things. If we get this spiritual man fed, the fleshly man, the earthly man, he'll take care of himself. He said, I'll give you peace. Well, there's some things. And let me say this. If it makes sense, God probably didn't say it. That's right. That's right. You better watch it. Your flesh will rise up if you can explain it. He brought Abraham out of a country and offered up their young ones as sacrifice. You know what he told Abraham to do? Offer up your boy as sacrifice. Now, did that make sense? Does that make sense to you? If God says it, you better watch it. And he don't tell you, sometimes he don't tell you all of it at the same time. Now, I don't know about y'all. Y'all may be, I know you are, several of you are, no doubt. But closer. But he don't tell you all. God just tells you to go. God will tell you to do something. And it just don't make sense. I heard a preacher one time say that God woke him up in the middle of the night. And a motel made him sing Amazing Grace. Now, you know what I done? I sat there and done this like y'all did. Bless God, I ain't no waking up in the middle of the night and singing Amazing. Yeah, you will. I was at a church up in North Alabama, and I was sitting there in my truck, had an old plumbing van, and I was sitting there one day, just meditating and thinking on the Lord and the bills I had to pay and the children's running around doing what they was doing and all that, you know. But I'm trying to be spiritual. Y'all don't help me. And I sat there. And the Holy Ghost come by that day I was sitting there and said, go hug that tree. I said, do what? A big old beech tree. You seen them? Big old beech tree out there. And I sat there, and I said, I ain't going to hug that tree. Sure as I hug that tree, somebody come by here. But you know what? About 2 minutes later, I was out there, my arms wrapped around a tree. Boy, and there was something showed up around there. I didn't give a flip. The governor come by. Bless God. I had a hold of something there. Why, you know it. God said do it. And when God says do it, it probably won't make sense, but it'll sure help your inside. He said, Abraham, He said, I'm going to give you peace. But then he said, not only that, we'll give you protection. He said, I'm going to be your shield. Yeah. I don't know if you know it, but as a child of God, can't nothing happen to you unless God permits it to happen. And you know when it happens, the bad happens to me. It's when I get away from God. God lets it happen. And I don't understand. I really don't. Some of y'all help me out with this. I don't understand why he lets some bad things happen to good people. In my eyes, they're good people. But see, I don't know what their heart's like. I don't know what's in their heart. And I don't understand why some things happen. But he said, Abraham, I'm going to be your protection. Wasn't long. Abraham tried to make things happen for God. Listen to me. Don't you try to make something happen to get something to happen or something to happen you don't want to happen. The next chapter, Abraham wanted that seed. He wanted that male child. And he went and laid with that little woman out of the will of God. And they're still fighting over it in the Middle East today. Still fighting over it. And they're going to fight over it till the Lord comes back. Because he said, my father's Abraham. But God said he's not the seed of promise. God said, I'm going to be your protection as long as listen, Israel is a nation, and as long as they stay a nation, God's going to protect them. And I hope our country's got enough sense to back them. But he said, I'm going to be your protection. In the last part of that verse, he said, I'm going to be your prosperity. I'm not a name it and claim it preacher. Bless God, I know what it feels like to come. I used to tell my wife, I didn't know no better really. We'd get a final notice on a light bill. And then it would excite me. I said, well, this is the last one we're going to get. I thought that's what that meant. I thought that's what it meant. She said, no. If we don't pay it this time, they're going to come and cut them off. I thought they weren't going to send me nothing. I thought, wow, God's good to us, you know. I mean, he's going to prosper me. I ain't going to get no more light bill. I know what it's like to have them call and tell you they're going to come take stuff away. But I also know what it's like. Knowing that's coming, boy, you got to sit there with a smile on your face and have something in your heart. I may not look like a rich man and may not act like, well, I don't know how they're supposed to act. But boy, I am one tonight. I don't own a house. Don't care nothing about owning one. Only piece of ground I got, stupid that I bought it, is a burial plot. That's right. Why would anybody want to buy, especially a Baptist preacher, go preach on the second coming of the Lord and looking for him any day and go buy a place to be buried? That is stupid. That's right. Y'all can call it unintelligent if you want to. Up home we call it purity, oh stupid. It's all I own as far as material things. Not interested in houses and land. But one day they're going to read the will. And my father, I'm in the will. And I'm going to be there. I like what that preacher said the other night. If your Bible says that these rooms in heaven, throw her away. I don't know what a mansion looks like. Seems like down through the years, they're building them bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know what you'd call a mansion nowadays. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know this much. I know two things of a surety. It's going to be big enough for me, and so will my robe. You can lose weight if you want to, but I'm afraid my load won't fit if I lose much weight. You ain't a-wearing mine, and I ain't a-wearing yourn. I got one of my own. He said, Abraham came out. He was a rich man. He had cattle. He had sheep. He had herds. He had men servants. He had maid servants. He had everything you could want. He had land as far as the eye could see. He was prosperous. But according to man, he was nothing because he didn't have a mansion there. He could have. But Abraham was rich. He said, I'm going to reward you exceedingly. Oh, look at his people when I'm through. Look at verse number 5. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. He said, and he brought him forth abroad and looked north to heaven. And said, look, Lord, north to heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to give you a people, a nation of people. Now, that would have scared me to death if he'd have told me that. And Sister Kathy would have still been running. If she thought we're going to have a nation, two is enough. But we're going to have a nation. But these people, they were to be personal in origin. They were to come from Abraham and Sarah. That's who this is coming from. They wasn't coming from Abraham and Hagar. It's coming from Abraham and Sarah. They were going to be personal. Isaac is the seed that God promised Abraham. Out of him came another seed that came 12 tribes, or the nation of Israel. They were to be plenty in number. Not just personal in origin, but they would be plenty in number. As many stars as you can count, that's how many it's going to be. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to seal it. I'm going to seal this blessing. By walking through. I'm going to receive that sacrifice. I got to looking at that sacrifice. It wasn't uncommon. It wasn't uncommon from to offer a heifer. It wasn't uncommon from to offer a she-goat. It wasn't uncommon from to offer a pigeon. But I got to studying about that turtle dove. Now, I know what a turtle is, and I know what a dove is. And I thought, one's real slow and one's real fast. And I got to, what in the world's the got studying about a turtle dove. One writer, I like the way he pinned it down and he defined it. He said, it's a poor man's sacrifice. And I got to thinking, I laid that beef. Boy, it takes something now to buy a whole beef. And lay it out there and give it away. By the way, if you need, I would like to give a calf to the Lord, just send it by my house. I mean, goat sends Brother David's. he walks in there. What I'm trying to say is, he had a sacrifice there for the rich and for the poor. He said, I could walk in. I don't know who's what. Some of you probably have a hard time paying your bills each week. But you're rich tonight. God loves you just as much as He loves that man that's sitting in the castle tonight. I'm glad He's not a respecter of persons tonight. He said, Abraham, there's going to be some that come out of your loins. He said, they're going to be rich. They're going to prosper. They're going to do well. He said, I'm going to walk through and receive them. But he said, there's going to be some come out of your loins. And he said, they're going to struggle all their life. They're not going to be able to give what they want to give. But they said, they're going to always be there. always been. He said, I think I'll just receive them too. Just lay down a sacrifice. I'm glad he came to where I was one day and made me some promises, and he's kept every promise that he made. I'm glad I sing the old song of Zion tonight, standing on the promises of God, because every promise that he made, he is going to perform. If he said it, he's going to do it. Mark it down. I'm through, preacher.